Well, it may be good. It has turned out it's not quite as long as I had thought it might be unless I do a lot more elaborating than I had thought I was going to. Margaret wants me to add in some stuff after she read it, and then I filled in some blanks for her that I didn't write down. But this came about probably a month ago. I laid down one night. I couldn't go to sleep because God wouldn't quit talking. And this went on for 6 hours. And I was supposed to be here at an elders meeting at 6 o'clock the next morning, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and God's still talking. And I said, okay, you're not going to leave me alone if I don't do something with it. And so I got some sleep and got up, and of course I was still procrastinating because he's done this twice before. This was the third message he's given me, and the other two I had rebelled and hadn't done anything with them. And he said, you're not going to get rest until you do something with it.
Hallelujah.
So I had a few pretty restless nights for a while until I finally decided, okay, well, fire up the computer and figure out how to write something down in the computer. I've never used it. We've had it over there for, what, a year? Probably pretty close to it. Well, I've turned it on a few times, never have figured out what to do with it. So I finally got into WordPerfect where I could put some things down. So this is sort of what I came up with, and it shortened down. It's not 6 hours. I thank the Lord he didn't intend for me to give you all of it, that he poured on me all night long. But the lead off is the title, Who Are You in God's Eyes? We all look at ourselves, but we don't know what God sees. We just know what we see. And so I'll start off with what I've got, and there will probably be some things that he'll add into me because he does that. I don't do complete message. I'm not like Tom. I can't just put them down and then read them. I can't do that. He has a different way. He works with me. We see ourselves in a mirror of the flesh, not of the spirit. And I think we see that mirror because that's what we want to see. And it'll go more into that later. But yes, and I do not believe without questioning. So when you see what you think you are, ask God, is this who I am? Don't accept that as being the honest truth, because we're always going to try to make ourselves feel a little better than maybe God sees. Maybe not. Sometimes we go the other route, but we got to seek that honest opinion. For we see what we like to think of our walk, and not wanting to have the Holy Spirit reveal what is really there. And I think this is where I was at right then. I had been in rebellion in not doing the other two, and this is why I got this one. You don't know who I really see you as being. I saw myself on a different plane than he finally revealed to me. Not that it was a worse plane, but just a different mode. And I didn't like everything he showed me. Uh, says, God looks at the heart to know who we really are. We look on the outside. He looks at the heart. He sees who we really are, not who we want to believe we are. So seek God in humility and seek His revealing of who we really are. And this is the one that shocked me. This is what he was telling me. Everyone is in the Bible. Not your physical walk, but your spiritual walk. You're somebody in the Bible. And if you will ask God and truly seek Him, said to me, read the Word of God in the Holy Bible and seek who you are through the revealing of the Holy Spirit. And I can't tell you who He sees, and you can't tell me who He sees in me. But if you earnestly read, and as you're reading, who is this me that I'm reading about? Not the physical person, because he may say, you're King David. Well, you know you're not King David. But maybe you're somebody that seeking his heart. And maybe that's who he'll tell you you are. Maybe not, but that wasn't my revelation. But so, if we seek with a true longing to hear what God has to say to us, He will speak. And we won't be able to deny what He says. Do not believe what others may say about you or to you without asking God to reveal where these words are coming from. Is it from the spirit or from the flesh that they speak? We get so torn down sometimes because somebody says something and we think that God has given them a word about us, and we take it without going to God and say, did they really receive this from you, or did they receive it out of the flesh? Don't let yourself be puffed up or torn down by what somebody says, but seek God to let you know where the truth is in this. Don't accept anybody's word unless God confirms that as being His word, what He wants you to understand. Then I changed paces a little because I took a walk this afternoon, well, right after I got home from church, and walked back into the hill a little ways, sat down under a tree for about an hour and a half meditation time and prayer. And he changed my mind on a little bit of it. And I don't know, I think it was because maybe I was getting too repetitive in some of the others I was saying. And he took it in, still in the same line, but it's still seeking Him, but in a little different word, and it sort of made me look at something a little different, and Margaret thought this was different too. Remember, we have it so much easier than those in the Old Testament. God was with them, but God indwells us. So if King David or Isaiah or Moses or Daniel or any of the other in the Old Testament amaze you with the walk of faith, remember you have more to start with than they had. They didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. They had to do it by faith alone. You may not have the thundering voice of God, which was heard. You may not have fire from the sky, which enlightened and confirmed certain things that happened. But you have the indwelling Spirit of God with you all the time. Not just a once in a while. This is all the time. He's there with you, awake, asleep, whatever you're doing. You have that privilege indwelling in you. So do not limit what you can do by not letting him do what Jesus sent him to do, that is to free you to be all that God wills you to be. And that's all I wrote down, but I know that I put the limits, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that put the limits, because we do not allow the Holy Spirit the freedom to take us where God wants us to be. And we are so privileged that we have the Holy Spirit, which can take us beyond anyone they wrote about in this book. He can do more than Paul did if we will let him use us and let him free us from the bonds that the human flesh puts on us. There's no limit where we can go and what we can do, the people we can touch, the lives we can free, if we just allow the Holy Spirit the freedom to do his work. And that's all I have, so it's going to be short. But if anybody's got any questions about what I said, I'll let you know if the Lord said anything about it while I was doing that 6-hour wait. But I didn't know if anybody had. But I tell you, it shook every notion I had going through that. I just could not believe the limits I put on him. And I thought I was doing pretty good until he did this. And I thought, no, got a long way to go. But I think we all need to seek him and say, Lord, who am I? And if it's not what we think, which I'll guarantee you will not be, yeah, it is. Carol's saying, expanding the territory here. But and it works, because I prayed over it, and he revealed who he thought I was, or who he knew I was. It wasn't who I thought I was. But then when you find out, you say, well, I don't necessarily think the outcome of that person was where I want to be. You know, right at the time that revealing happened, well, yeah, they were doing pretty good right then, but then it sort of went downhill, and I don't want to go where they went. So, but we have the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to change that. So seek, and you will find what he has to say. Anybody got anything? Because I'm through.